Hello, I'm here during the lunch rush with Janice, who owns her own food truck.
Best cheesesteaks in town.
Janice traded up to Geico Commercial Auto Insurance for her food truck business. We're here where she needs us most.
They sure are.
We make it so easy for her to save, with customised coverage that grows with her business. Sorry, I just get so emotional talking about saving folks money.
Not this onion I'm chopping?
It's just so beautiful. Oh, yeah, nice, the onion.
Get a commercial auto insurance quote today at geico.com and see how much you could save. Get more with Geico.
If you're a lineman in charge of keeping the lights on, Granger understands that you go to great lengths and sometimes heights to ensure the power is always flowing, which is why you can count on Granger for professional-grade products and next-day delivery so you have everything you need to get the job done. Call 1-800-GRANGER, click Granger.com, or just stop by. Granger, for the ones who get it done.
When your daughter's learning how to drive and says,
"Baba, can I drive?"
You say,
"Híjole, here we go."
But what you should say is something that helps protect your ride.
Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
And that's where State Farm comes in, to help you choose the coverage you need, so you can relax until you hear,
"Can we pick up my boyfriend?"
"Wait, what?"
Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there. State Farm, Bloomington, Illinois.
Welcome back to Ghost in the Valley podcast. I'm your host, Al Cooley. Today I have Tambra Ross and Kale Epperson. They are co-authors of a brand new book, hot off the press, and you can find it at Barnes & Noble's, Amazon, almost any place you get your books and novels. The title of the book is From Within the Shadows, Darkness Has a Voice. This is an awesome read. I highly recommend that you pick this book up. Tambra has been on the show before. She was a past member of Paranormal Investigations of Oklahoma, and also she is a psychic medium. She is an author, and that book is To Me With Love, Looking Beyond the Pain of the Past to Find Self-Acceptance. That is another great read. Kale Epperson is a co-author with Tambra, and Kale has also been a past guest on Ghosts in the Valley. He is the lead investigator at Paranormal Investigations of Oklahoma, and they will be coming up right after these brief messages.
This is Weird on the Rocks, a podcast that explores the weird, unusual, strange, and unexplained, all while getting our drink on. Join me every other Monday as I share a different cocktail and discuss true crime, paranormal stories, unexplained phenomena, conspiracy theories, and much more. Find Weird on the Rocks on social media, the website weirdontherocks.weebly.com, and listen on all of your favorite podcast apps. And don't forget to cheers and stay weird.
You awaken in a cold sweat. Your heart races and your breath quickens. It's 3 a.m., and you're not alone. Something lurks in the corner of the room, and it's darker than the night.
You're deep in the woods, enjoying a family camping trip. Marshmallows roast and laughs are shared until something screams from behind the ridge. It's neither human nor animal, but something in between. You can't see it, but it sees you.
You're driving down a dark, lonely road, singing along to your favorite song, when something dressed in white crosses your path. You swerve to an immediate stop and check your rearview mirror, but nothing's there.
The people are real, and the stories are legend.
The problem is that legends are often riddled in myth.
We uncover the truth. Tune in to Paratruth Radio every Sunday at 8 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, anywhere podcasts are found.
Welcome, Tamara and Kale. Good to have you back.
Thank you. It's good to be back.
Good to be back.
Tamara is the author of To Me With Love that was released last year. And I've got a copy of it that she's kindly donated to me and autographed. That's a fantastic book, by the way. You have to pick that up on Amazon or wherever you get your books. And she's also working on a new book with Kale Epperson. The new book is From Within the Shadows, Darkness Has a Voice. First of all, yeah, that your first novel was phenomenal.
Thank you.
I thought that was great. And I know this is Kale's first time out. You can add that under your hat. Kale is now you're an author now, along with being the lead paranormal investigator for Paranormal Investigations of Oklahoma. Before we get into that, into your new book, why do you think around Halloween is so active?
I believe it's because the veil between our world and the supernatural world is actually thinner. I think that's probably the main reason why. I always notice that activity picks up this time of year. People see more ghosts and apparitions, and demonic hauntings seem to pick up as well. But I think it's because the veil is so thin. We always get more reports from people that they're seeing more stuff, or their houses may be completely quiet. And then around Halloween time, the activity picks up and they may be sensing things that are there that they don't normally see or hear. And just during that time period, it just shows back up, and then it'll stay pretty active throughout the fall and the winter. And then springtime rolls around and the activity starts dying off again. And a lot has to do with moon phases and
yes,
different other things also.
Now, Tamara, are you still investigating?
I am. I'm doing several investigations with PIO, and I also have partnered up with a brand new team called Saints and Sinners out of Texas. They're an amazing Christian-based group. So yeah, we've got a lot of things planned for the beginning of the new year, both teams. So I'm super excited about that. More stories to come.
You know, I found that interesting. You know, you said a Christian-based team. You know, staff my paranormal investigations, it seems like investigators I've had on the show are agnostic or atheists. You know, they don't believe. And yet others are strongly use their faith, you know, in their investigations. Do you think that bad spirits are prevalent around Halloween?
You know, that's kind of a twofold question and answer, because they're around us all the time. I think that, you know, they feed off of each person's individual energy and circumstance that they may be around or going through at any given time. I think the excitement of the holiday season really tends to pick up that energy as well. And you have to look at things that are going on in our world today. I mean, there's a whole lot going on, and
oh, sure is.
Stresses are even higher than what they've ever been before for the last 20, 30 years. So I do know that PIO is getting multiple calls on more home investigations right now than anything else. So, you know, that's kind of a twofold thing there. Yes and no.
You think that the PIO, that the it's picking up because more people's home now?
I do.
They're seeing things now or hearing things now that they don't normally hear, because, you know, I think Kale had told me before, you know, you spend most of your time on your job site where you're working more than you do at home. So now the people are, due to COVID and other reasons, they're home more. People's contacting me now, like it's unbelievable. When I say bad spirits, I think Kill had mentioned on the last interview I did with him, what you call them, damn spirits?
Damn souls.
Damn souls. So, you know, and I had another guest on since yours, and he said damn souls. I said bad spirits. And this person says, I'm not to put the, he said they're assholes. So if you're an asshole, if you're an asshole in life, so when you die, I mean, you're not going to change that, you know?
No.
So I thought that was kind of interesting. It just seems to me that the most of my stories I'm getting within the last 3 weeks have been
bad spirits in cemeteries. And I thought that was kind of fascinating. You know, I don't usually get that during a year. And I had three within the past week just on bad spirits in the cemetery. I mean, two actually being hurt. I just was curious if you found activity around the Halloween season.
I think that more people are opening up to the spirit world and to the supernatural and the paranormal. I think that, you know, gone are the days of a lot of non-believers. You know, people, we have so many various religions, and that's one of the greatest things that I enjoy about PIO, mm-hmm. because that team is so diverse with their religious beliefs and the members. And then with the other team that I'm working with, Saints and Sinners, they are strongly founded on Christian faith. And so between the two of them, it's a very well-rounded and broad spectrum of research and looking up history. And, you know, people are opening up more, they're experiencing more because they are more relaxed with their own cultures and their own belief system without having someone say, you know, no, that's not right. Or no, you know, that can't be possible. We all know that there are things out there that we just cannot explain.
Exactly. You know, and tough for me when I have somebody who doesn't believe you can move a spirit on, but to each their own. I mean, to me, you either are going to heaven or you're going to hell. And when you have that in-between spot there, I think Killu has said, you know, the damn souls, they're kind of lost to go one place or the other. We kind of know where they're going to go, but you have that little space in there. I think Catholics call it purgatory.
Yes.
Yeah, right. Yeah, where other religions, they don't believe that. You know, if you, when you die, you go straight to heaven or you go straight to hell, then that judgment's going to be real quick, right?
Yes.
Yeah, and I believe myself, and I've had this experience in the field, that, you know, just because you die, you can still ask for forgiveness. I've had situations where I had spirits contact us who done something horrific, or they're afraid to go and cross over because of some sin that they've done in the past. And I've actually prayed over spirits and helped them cross over. And all they have to do is ask for forgiveness. You know, if they're stuck in limbo and they're afraid to cross over, I feel like, you know, it doesn't matter if you're alive or you're a ghost, you can still ask for forgiveness and move on. It's just a simple thing. And again, it depends on people's religious belief, but I truly believe ghosts can ask for forgiveness and pass on. And I think the same way works with demons. And I know a lot of people probably disagree with me about it, but I'm sure if a demonic entity asks forgiveness through God, God more likely will forgive them. But, you know, you get digging deep into the history of angels and demons.
Yeah, that's a great answer because, you know, I was just thinking about my uncle. He was a good guy down. I knew he was deep down inside, but he was always in trouble with the law, you know. So he spent more time, I think, in jail than outside the jail. So, and a lot of people were questioning, is he going to go to heaven when he had cancer towards the end of his life? The preacher at the hospital told him, right now is a good time to ask for forgiveness. You can change if you ask for forgiveness.
That's 100% accurate because, Al, I have numerous clients that come to see me for the sole purpose of connecting with a loved one that's passed on. And I've had multiple ones that have come who had a loved one pass on due to suicide. And a lot of people get the misconception that if they have taken their own life, it's an automatic sentence straight to hell. And mm-hmm. I'm here to tell you that is not true. That is not accurate because, you know, when I'm in a session and they come to me, I can see where they're at and they're talking to me, and it helps to give that closure to their loved one that, you know, it wasn't their fault, or, you know, it's life. We all get caught up in life, but it's not an automatic sense. It's not.
And that's what I loved about the Oklahoma Paranormal Group is because you guys were so diversified that I think you said before on your first interview when you're on the show a couple of years ago that you kind of check each other, you know, so it's not just you're looking at one way and Tambra might be looking another way and another member looking another way, and all your views coming together, I think, is a really awesome because you have a run it out decision you come up with of that place or person.
Yeah, I think we kind of help keep each other in check. And we also, when we do bring our collectives together, then, you know, we're able to sit down and validate quite a bit.
Yeah.
Again, let's get to your book. What is the book about?
Well, we're pretty excited about it. It's basically a variation, a collection of different investigations that we've been to, whether together or with a different team, but they all have one thing in common, and that is validation, whether it's through photos or audio. We could validate that there were things going on. It took a lot of research. So they're pretty interesting. They were fun, for to say the least.
So it's basically your stories from your investigations you were on?
Yes, yes. And there's other tidbits in the book of explaining certain things, like what angels are, what demons are, ghosts and spirits. We even get into crystals and proper ways of saging and different items like that. But a lot of it is based on our stories. On the cases that we've been on, and some are quite unique.
That's cool because, you know, you said it was nonfiction. So basically all true stories, correct?
Yes. I will say one of the stories in the book, I without giving away too much, one of them has a very sincere closeness to my heart. And I have actually shared that story with you before on one of our previous talks together. But I did include that in my book because in a lot of ways that helped make it through a lot of my childhood.
When you're going from firsthand experience compared to like, well, my sister said, or my sister's brother happened to them, you know, this happened to you guys. So you witnessed this and you know firsthand how it affected your life, your day-to-day living as far as investigators go, you know, and also yourself, like Tamara, you know, growing up, the demons that were around you, and thank God for your guardian angel around you. So are the stories like basically in Oklahoma or Texas?
It's a little bit of both. I mean, we love to travel, and if there's a need for us to travel somewhere, I mean, we don't hesitate. We'll pack up and we'll go. Saints and Sinners is based out of Texas, so we kind of hit all four corners of there. Same with Oklahoma and PIO. So it's I think though, for the most of the stories, I think those are primarily Oklahoma, with one exception being in Kansas City.
So has the Saints and Sinners collaborated yet with PIO?
Oh, yes. We are definitely working on some great
okay.
next year.
What's some of the sites you're looking at to investigate?
Well, we actually just completed, Saints and Sinners completed a jail down in Hallettsville, Texas. That was a very amazing location. It's extremely active. We are looking at some other locations, obviously, in Texas. We like the older locations because there's a whole lot more history there, but we'll find history anywhere. We have great historians on the team, and trust me, they try to find a way to debunk it.
Is the history of the building important to you, you know, the place you're investigating?
Well, before I go in, I don't like to know anything. I like to do a cold walkthrough, and then I can, you know, kind of say what I'm seeing, feeling, hearing, and then try to get validation later. But I never want to know the history of a location before I go in. So, I mean, I'll pretty much go anywhere if there's a need, or if it's just for fun too, for, you know, saying that we did it, but coming together and telling the story, not just of what is known, but what is unknown, is really amazing to do.
We were talking before we started recording about cemeteries, and some people like to investigate cemeteries and some people do not. You said you do like to investigate cemeteries. Why is that?
Well, we did one down in Granbury, Texas, 2 weekends ago, and we actually caught an apparition of a woman on our video camera. You know, there's just something sacred about the cemeteries. They're very peaceful. And, you know, I agree with Kale when we were talking about this topic. It really depends on the location, what kind of history surrounds that location too. But I myself find it very comforting to just really go and walk through, sit.
You sent me a video not long ago on experience you had happened to you during a Ouija board session. Is that in the book? Did I freeze?
Yeah.
I have to laugh because you did freeze right at the moment when you started to bring up this particular incident, and Kale and I looked at each other because we know exactly why that happened.
And I have that stuff happening all the time. I'm telling you, when I watch that video, it's pretty dramatic. So is that's in the book?
It was intense. Well, that incident, that was at an old, it's actually called the Old Park Hotel. I've spoken with the owner since the incident to write about my story. I think that was probably as close as I have ever come to being oppressed. I was channeling, and I was using energy from someone else who did not quite have the experience. It was my own fault. I'm just going to be honest, as a medium and a paranormal investigator, I should have known better. The things that were coming through, it was like I was there one moment and the next minute I just blacked out, and I am being carried out by team members because the situation got bad very, very quickly.
I've seen that, I'm not a big fan of Ouija boards, but with you being a psychic and medium, so I'm thinking to myself, you're going to tunnel more of that energy.
Yes.
Than say somebody else would.
Yes. Well, and that's why I said it, honestly, when I did the session, it was against my better judgment because the table itself was made of a Ouija board. I don't know much, honestly, because I don't mess with Ouija boards, but like I said, I did have my hands on the table and I was holding hands with someone else and I was channeling and using her energy. Apparently the table had not been closed properly. On the video, at one point I had completely blacked out and you could see orbs moving through the video. After that episode, things that were coming through, the owner and even our researcher were able to validate the things that I was saying or seeing during the course of the investigation even. But I refused to go back in that building for about an hour, and I literally made someone sleep with me that night because that one got to me. That case really got to me.
What about you, Kale? What's your view on dealing with Ouija boards?
I don't use Ouija boards that often. I kind of view it as summoning spirits. Of course, you can view the Ouija board as another tool. People can say my ovulus that I use on my cases can be considered some form of summoning device. But I think a lot, it's just a tool for anyone to use, and you just got to use the tool properly. I think with the Ouija board, though, a lot depends on the board. I've been on demonic cases where the demon came inside a family's home just because of the Ouija board that they were using, and we discovered that it had spells written on it. We had to use a black light, and we discovered there were spells written on the board. And a lot of times, people are getting this from the manufacturers. They may not realize that's what they're getting. Trying to tell people to be careful with using Ouija boards. We had someone contact us not too long ago, and Tammy knows what I'm talking about. They had a friend that passed away, and apparently another friend was trying to make contact with this person that just died, and they were using a Ouija board and unfortunately brought a demonic entity inside their house. And Tammy did a reading for this other person, and the spirit came in very clearly to her that the spirit was saying, tell her to quit using that darn Ouija board because she's not talking to me.
That's how we found out that mm-hmm. something had been brought through. And then lo and behold, 2 days later, we get a call saying there's disturbances in the home.
So I asked a lot of my guests that, because some people are strong users of the Ouija board, and they even have shows on YouTube and their paranormal channels of the Ouija board. Like I said before, teach their own, but to myself, I kind of stay away from that.
But they make other boards besides Ouija boards.
Oh, right, correct.
Boards or oracle boards, and it's the same concept. It's just they're painted up differently with angels or mm-hmm. goddesses, but it's all pretty much the same. I look at it like a tool, but you can summon anything, and of course, kind of plugging our book out there, there is a story in there about a case that I went on where we had to deal with a demonic entity that was summoned into the home. And there's actually going to be a photograph of this demonic entity inside the book, because we do have a picture of it. But it was basically a young teenage girl who was trying to contact her grandma, and who she thought was grandma definitely wasn't grandma.
Now, would you remove that demonic entity yourself, or do you have other people come in to do that?
That particular case, we handled it and we cleansed the home.
We do have a clergy, an additional clergy on the team. Mm-hmm. And there's always power in numbers for sure.
That's a powerful force to deal with.
I know after the incident regarding the video, it took me about a week before I had to reach out to Kale and Harlan, our head clergy. He is also a shaman, so he's very well versed in a variety of different cultures and religions. You know, after that first week, I knew I brought something home with me and had something attached to me. My husband and I would be sitting in the living room and things would just start falling off the counters in the kitchen. And it got to the point where my poor husband was just like, oh my God, what's going on? So Kale did come over, and him and Harlan had to cleanse the house, and they performed ceremony on me. It got pretty intense. And like I said, that was one of two that I don't think I'll ever forget.
Now, do you believe you can carry a spirit with you to another place?
I do. You know, and I've had a couple of people, because saints and sinners, they were with me on that investigation as well. I've had people ask me, you know, well, would you do anything different? Or how do you feel since that incident, knowing how severe it got? And why do you want to continue doing it? Well, it's really simple. That's who I am. Yes, I'm going to continue doing it. Have I learned a few things? Absolutely. I mean, no one's perfect, but I also believe it's no different than the Book of Job. God allowed me to experience and to go through some of those things to see where I needed to go next within my path. So, you know, I think I'm a stronger person for it. My faith is definitely a lot stronger, and I know not to channel unless it's absolutely necessary.
Yeah, what I'm having with Canberra is there's almost like a two-tone on the voice.
That's weird.
It's almost like, yeah, it is weird.
Oh.
Right. I mean, you get this other voice going with you.
What's weird, though, as we're sitting here, I feel like I'm being touched. Have you noticed on the camera I'm touching myself a lot? And my first thought was, is there a fly on me or something?
It's probably one of my guardians.
But it's probably one of her guardian spirits just like trying to let me know that, hey, we're here with you.
I got to see when I play this back. It's almost like you're talking at this level and there's another voice like this level below you talking.
I noticed too that when I do talk about that experience, and I've shared this with Kale, I mean, I know I had divine intervention, and so much has changed since then. I mean, I feel like I've completely changed and I'm more focused, and I know what I need to do. And I'm thankful to Kale very much for having my back.
It's always good to have somebody have your back, right?
Yes. Yes.
Do you believe in, you can be cursed? You can put a curse on somebody?
Well, we did have a case, when I was working, with another team that we were called to a home because the girl was having some experiences and displaying symptoms of possession. When we conducted the interview, we found out that they were working on spells and things like that, and they were trying to curse one another just for fun to see if they could do it. Well, they actually did something. I think as far as curses go, if you give that curse power enough to believe in it, then sure. But I mean, curses per se, I'm kind of indifferent on that.
It's about energy control and how people direct that energy. And usually with curses, it's directing negative energy towards another person. Now, for me, for curses, curses only work if you believe in it and allow it to take over your life. but when a curse starts off, it can't affect you. I remember going to church as a youth, and it was like vacation Bible school, and they actually spoke on curses and how God could overturn a curse. But with curses, like I said, it's somebody focusing their negative energy and pouring it onto you. Now, if you're shielded, protected, or under God's graces, per se, if somebody puts a curse on me for some reason, I know once it starts affecting me, all I have to do is pray to have the curse broke. And then that curse goes back to the person that sent it in the first place, and it doubles back on them. But the key point, though, is when somebody sends me a curse, when I break that curse, I ask and give forgiveness to the person that sent it to me. Because if you don't, the curse goes back to that person. They're going to get mad because they're treating it like magic. I guess that's the best way of putting it. The curse comes back to them, hits them back double fold, and they feel like, oh, you sent me a curse, and they try to send it back at you again. But the problem is, once you give that person forgiveness, they can't send it back to you. So every time they try to cast another curse against you, it's just going to affect them more until they can just stop dealing with it. And curses can become a vicious cycle if you allow it to be. But with most cases, I tell people, it's like, just don't believe in it. Oh, I feel like my family's cursed. Well, don't believe in it, because if you believe in it, then your family's going to be cursed. But you can break the cycle of the curse. It's just bouncing negative energy back and forth to each other, if that makes sense.
It does. You know, I just was talking to another guest about curses in his book had curses in the book. But yeah, I like that, Gail, when you say, you know, if you on the forgiveness end.
Yeah, I remember hearing a story about Christ cursing the fig tree and the fig tree drying up and dying later. A lot of it is just control and power, and it's how you deal with that energy. And I always view energy as energy, negative or positive. So if somebody sends you negative energy, you could turn it around and make it positive energy and send it back out. It just depends on how you deal with it. But yeah, with curses, you know, I always tell people, you know, curses don't work unless you believe in it. And I've seen people go through these vicious cycles with curses and spells, and I tell them that, you know, once you cleanse yourself, cleanse your home, do not send that curse back to that other person. Once you break free of that curse, make sure you ask forgiveness on the person that sent it. Because if they keep trying to send it back to you, it's not going to go anywhere. It's just going to come back to them. And they're basically hurting themselves.
Yeah, I agree. Mm-hmm. So where do people go to contact you and on both your teams and your book?
Well, as far as the book, it will be available through Amazon, BookBaby, Barnes & Noble. We will have a link also on our YouTube page. It's under Tambra Ross and Kale Epperson on YouTube. And I have a website for my spiritual practice. It's www.psychicmediumtambra.com.
If they need to message me, they can just go through kelepperson@yahoo.com. It's all ran together.
So. I will have those links at the bottom of this episode. And I want to thank you both for being on the show today. And I wish you the best of luck on the new book.
Thank you.
And all your future investigations coming up.
Absolutely. I'll be sure to send you any more crazy videos.
Thank you, Kale Epperson and Tambra Ross. It was my pleasure to finish out my year with the both of you. Go to Amazon, BookBaby, or Barnes & Noble and pick up their new book, From Within the Shadows, Darkness Has a Voice. I will be taking about 4 weeks off. I'll be back with my fourth season in 2022. Have a happy new year and a very merry Christmas. I'm your host, Al Cooley, Ghosts in the Valley Podcast.